devices go out all over the world. It's remarkable that a small little church, little congregation in Shepherd, Texas, our services are viewed in Norway and Tokyo and Germany, Frankfurt, Scotland, countless places. I can't even remember them all. And so we do all these things because it's important for us to be spreaders of the gospel. I just never dreamed when I started ministry that we would have such a reach out of this little sanctuary. It's exciting, but it also puts a lot of pressure on us because we have to make sure that all these things are functioning every Sunday, and sometimes the technology works and sometimes it does not. So this morning, it is in fact the sixth Sunday of the Easter season. Just a couple more weeks and we'll be in Pentecost. This year is moving. And sometimes it appears to be moving quickly and sometimes it appears to be crawling along. We're just a month away, officially, from the first day of summer. And I already feel as though we've hit the summer doldrums. And maybe it's the temperature that we're experiencing. Maybe it's something else entirely. But these days of late, it seems like we're just kind of marking time. We're not making anything that resembles forward progress. Or is it just me? I don't know. I feel sometimes as if I'm stuck in the same rut. You ever feel that way? Where more and more often, one day seems just like the next. Where you know that when you get up in the morning, it's going to be pretty much the same thing as yesterday, and the day before, and the day before that. And you know that you've probably got more of that routine ahead of you, because we are creatures of routine, right? Creatures of habit. And sometimes routine is comfortable, and other times it's just routine. Sleep eludes me these days. I feel like I'm busy. I'm just not sure that the busyness is productive. And I get up early most mornings, always have, and I share my time in the morning talking to God, and I'm drinking coffee, and I'm in the company of our two great Danes, Max and Gus, and the Thunder got them up at 4, and so instead of getting up at 5:30, I'm up at 4 with the great Danes, and they're good company. They don't talk much, but it doesn't matter where I am, whether I'm in my office or in the living room or out on the back patio, they're right there at my feet. And, they have their routines as well. Now, the thing about routines is, even as people of faith, we can find ourselves bogged down in the repetitiveness of the everyday tasks that are set before us. As we, as the people of God, as ministers of the faith, which you all are, by the way, in case you didn't realize it, as ministers of the faith, even we can get dragged down in the labors of our everyday tasks. My daughter Brittany calls these the mundane everydays. Mundane everydays. I think that's a good description. Now, she has a blog, and I read it from time to time because she's really insightful, and she and her husband do missionary work down in the Rio Grande Valley. And you know what's going on down there. It's quite a busy place with all the people pouring across the border. And she says in her blog that we all have these seasons that the Lord allows us to go through that are not necessarily difficult, although they can be, but maybe fail to reflect what we would look at as our ideal ministry. If I were going to imagine myself in ministry, would it be a ministry of the mundane everydays, or would it be something more exciting? I mean, we all want to feel like that we're useful and we're needed, and that the work we do, the work we're called to in the kingdom, is, well, exciting. But let's face it, sometimes it's just not. We struggle from day to day in our ministry. We struggle to figure out how we fit in. How is this place in which we do ministry, how is it relevant? Are our circumstances the thing that dictate our ministry, or does our ministry dictate our circumstances? What is our purpose as the body of Christ in motion in Shepherd? Now, the thing is, you have to be grateful that we serve a God that grants us the freedom to come to Him honestly with these kinds of questions. God, what is my purpose? What ministry would you have me do? And the thing about Him is, when we come to Him with these questions, He redirects our hearts and our minds to focusing simply on who He is, instead of worrying about the circumstances and what your purpose is and what your ministry is, and is my ministry even having impact where I'm serving. Focus on who God is, and the rest of it will take care of itself. I think that's a good point. See, when we begin to question our relevance, our purpose, the effectiveness of our mission and ministry in the world, even our circumstances, God inevitably, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, directs our thoughts back to Him. We turn to Him in prayer and worship, and He directs our thoughts back to who He is. And that relieves us of the burden of all those questions. It shifts the burden from our weak shoulders to His more capable shoulders. Why does that work that way? Well, it works that way because He is trustworthy, and He's promised us that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. The world doesn't promise that. In fact, the world never delivers that. And so it may be different for all of us. I think we all have the same seasons of these mundane, tedious everydays. We just have different reasons for why we're in that season. See, the thing that I wrestle with and the thing that you wrestle with are probably different. Maybe you're a mom with young children, and raising young children, although a worthy endeavor, can sometimes be routine and tedious and mundane. Going to school, although also a worthy endeavor, can be pretty much day after day the same routine. Or maybe you have a job, and when you go to work, it's the same, and your routine is the same. And it might not be a glamorous job. And so you have these unglamorous roads that you travel. You have these mundane, tedious everydays. We all have them. It's not just me. There are seasons of spiritual dryness. You ever experience that? Seasons where you feel isolated from God, maybe cut off from God for whatever reason. Feel like God's hand is not moving in your life for whatever reason. Brittany wrote about that in her blog. She said, "I think a lot of times we allow ourselves to become disappointed with the work that we are doing. Maybe it's because the newness of it has long worn off. And we've been doing the same thing for so long that we've lost our excitement for it. We look at things that other people are doing. We compare our mundane, tedious everydays to their exciting, ministries in foreign and exciting places, and we look at our little bubble and it seems kind of blah in comparison. Maybe we're not doing the big work, so-called. We begin to feel as though the ministry that we're doing is insignificant and small. Sometimes we fail to see that we are really doing any work at all that matters. Our personal ministries can be like that. You have to remind yourself that not all the things that we're called to do are for other people. Sometimes the things that we walk through are meant specifically for us, to grow us, to challenge us. So whether you're in a season of waiting, a season of transition, maybe you're not in a season of waiting, maybe you're in an active season where you're working 9 to 5, you're going to class every day, whatever, a season of I just don't know what to do with my life. Maybe you're having to step back or adjust your involvement in ministry because of health reasons or needing to take care of small children. The thing is, God doesn't waste our time ever. Let me say that again, because somebody out there needs to hear it. God does not waste our time ever. In whatever circumstances you're in, God does not waste your time. You see, in waiting, we learn patience and trust. In financial struggle, we better understand God's timing and provision. In times of hardship, we learn our weaknesses and we see God's strength. In times when we're stressed, we see what's truly in our hearts, what truly matters to us. In times of grief and mourning, we see God's comfort and peace. See, sometimes in our desire to simply feel useful, sometimes we step in and make our own plans. And that might come from a place of good intentions. It might come from a place that produces good works. But often those things can get in the way of what God is trying to do. When we become impatient with our circumstances, we tend to assert ourselves into the seat of authority. We have to remember what God's word says in Proverbs 19:21. It says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. See, we like to be in control, don't we? Even when we're in a season of our mundane, tedious everydays, we want to be in control of our mundane, tedious everydays. And all too often we can't see the bigger picture. We can't see the forest for the trees. In other words, we concern ourselves so much with the details that we fail to see the bigger picture of what God is trying to do in our lives. That's the way we are. If we're in the thick of it, burning the candle at both ends, working overtime, going and doing and going to the point where we pray for rest, and suddenly we have these periods of mundane, tedious everydays where nothing seems to be happening, and instead of looking to God and thanking Him for the time of rest that we prayed for, we slip into that funk and that depression, that season of, where are you, God? Didn't I just pray for this season of rest? And so God gives it to me, and instantly I become ungrateful. If you are in a season of mundane, let me tell you, rest assured, there are times just ahead when we will long for mundane everydays. This is a missional church. We are the body of Christ in motion in Shepherd. And while it may look superficially that these are mundane everydays in our ministry, we are about to be very busy. Souls will depend on us to know the truth about Jesus. people will look to us for guidance and sustenance as the world spirals into craziness. We will be busy as prayer warriors, as priests of the gospel, as ministers of the faith. Every morning you will be awakened not by an alarm clock, but by the urging of the Holy Spirit to get moving as witnesses to the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. These days are coming. There will be no time to waste, no time to rest, until he takes us home or he returns, whichever comes first. Now, as I told the sister church down the road, some of y'all may be thinking the pastor's lost his mind this morning. See, the thing is, don't think for a moment as the world continues to spiral out there. And if you don't think it's out of control, just go fill up your gas tank like I did this morning. It's out of control. Don't think for a moment that this little congregation will be passed over and allowed to recline in our sanctuary while the world spins by outside of our walls. No. See, this congregation is a mighty force for God in this community. And this congregation will rise to the purpose for which it has been ordained by God Himself, to make disciples, to know Christ, and to make Christ known in this community. It's not by accident that the churches, some of them, of this community have decided to look past their denominational label of Baptist or Methodist or what have you, and to come together in the spirit of revival. That's not an accident. That's the Holy Spirit at work in the body of Christ in this community. You see, the unglamorous roads, the tedious, mundane everydays are the path that God has placed before us to take us and this community home. What is home? Well, it's also not an accident that our epistle for this morning talks about what home looks like. It's Revelation 21. It starts at verse 10. It's printed in your bulletin insert if you want to follow along. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. I'm not sure what the bulletin insert is. Revelation 21:10, "And in the Spirit he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." See, these mundane, tedious everydays are about to give way to troubled, chaotic times. We need to be ready. We also need to know that the prize at the end of it all, the glory that we are promised if we are steadfast through these mundane everydays, through these troubled times ahead, that prize is magnificent. The new Jerusalem promised in Revelation. We have to be ready. We have to get others ready. How do we do that? Well, it's not as difficult as you might think. It's really a very simple formula to get ready. First, we prepare ourselves by arming ourselves with the Word of God. How do we do that? Well, we spend time in Bible study. I know, it's in the evening, it's on a Tuesday night, I know. We spend time in Bible study. We come to Tuesday night Bible study and we learn and discuss and we learn and discuss until we are a mighty force of truth and knowledge, ready to go out and lead the people in this community to the Lord. Truth and knowledge and relationship with the living Christ. That is how we get ready for what's coming. There is nothing more important. There is nothing on anyone's schedule. If you are a Christian in the world today, this is your mission, your ministry, your priority. There is nothing that you can put on your schedule that is more important than getting into God's Word so that you can be a disciple who makes disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Did I say that clearly enough? So what do we do with these unglamorous roads, these mundane everydays that we're all experiencing? Well, 1 Corinthians 7:17 says, "Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned him and to which God has called him." Lead the life the Lord has assigned you. In other words, don't concern yourself with the grass on the other side of the fence being greener. Be faithful with the grass, shepherd, that the Lord has assigned you. Proverbs 16:3-4 says, "Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble." See, someday we're going to look back on our lives as this great landscape. And as we look back on our lives, we're going to see mountains, high places, and we're going to see valleys, low places. But more than anything else, more than mountains and valleys, we will see miles and miles of flat, winding roads that connect all the peaks and the valleys. And they may seem insignificant as you're going through them. They may seem tedious. They may seem as if 1 mile is just the same as the last, and the ones ahead of us don't look that much different. They might seem insignificant until you realize that without the roads, you would never have reached the peaks. Without those unglamorous roads, you would never have made it up out of the valleys. And so we need to rejoice and be grateful this morning for the sanctifying work of walking out our unglamorous roads. The unglamorous roads lead to the river of the water of life. Can you picture it? The tree of life with roots on either side of this river of crystal clear water of life. The tree of life, its leaves, red leaves, stained by the crimson blood of the Lamb for the healing of the nations. This is what's coming for those who confess Jesus as Lord and believe in their hearts that He died, was buried, and was resurrected. The healing of the nations, including this one. His will be done in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Next hymn is, Oh How I Love Jesus.